You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
Why, hello there, everybody. How's it going? My name is Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome into your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnSports.com, your team every single day, LockedOnAngels.com, where you find the main show page. And today, well, the beginning of the All-Star break, Angels fresh off the Freeway Series loss in Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium to the Dodgers, 2-1. They head into the All-Star break, 9 games back of the Seattle Mariners for the final wild card spot. Well out of the division lead as well, sitting at 49-48. All things considered, still a better record than they were at last season at the All-Star break, just to keep them out of perspective. But I know expectations much higher going into this season. What I want to talk about today, and I previewed it, in our last episode on Friday, which was episode number 100. Thank you guys for getting us to this milestone. I want to talk about, if I were Billy Epler, what I do at the trade deadline and through the rest of this season to set the Angels up for the best position to build a contending team for the 2019 season. I thought Billy Epler did a great job before this upcoming season. A lot of veterans have underperformed, and simply the injury bug has been too big to overcome. So that's going to be the main segment of today. Then, of course, Monday, that means studs and duds the weekend. Want to talk about who shined, who did not over the weekend in Los Angeles. And then lastly, I want to talk a little bit about a guy named Joe Adell. I know Lucas does the Down on the Farm report, but it's been a while since I talked about Joe Adell, and he dazzled in the Futures game. This kid shows all the makings of a stud, and I would not be surprised to see him in the Angels outfield in 2020 paired alongside Mike Trout. That would be insane. All right, if I were Billy Epler, I want to get right down to this. Angels, like I said, 49-48, 9 games out of a wild card spot. Realistically, you know, probably not making the playoffs. I think we're all kind of sharing that same sentiment. I know Lucas is still surprisingly holding out hope, which is tough to believe because he's one of the most pessimistic Angel fans that I know, if not the most. But here's what I would do. And to be honest, the plan that I have laid out isn't necessarily a plan to just sell everything off, because the Angels can't do that, right? They can't go into rebuild mode and sell off all of their assets and prepare for 2020 or 2021 down the line. Like, they still need to contend for next season. So it's a tricky position to be in. But in order to set yourself up for the 2019 offseason and figure out exactly what holes need to happen, this is what needs to happen. I'm going to go across the diamond and give you sort of a breakdown here. So you got Justin Upton, Mike Trout, firmly entrenched in left and center field. The Angels aren't moving on from Justin Upton or Mike Trout, obviously. Cole Calhoun's picking up his play. He's certainly going to be in our studs and duds of the weekend on the stud side of things. He had a phenomenal weekend at Dodger Stadium. So the outfield remains the same for the rest of the season. What I want to do, first things first, ship out Ian Kinsler. He's been disappointing. He's not in the plan for the future. And quite frankly, I think the Angels have a couple in-house options to fill the void there. And I'm not even concerned with what the return is for Ian Kinsler. If you can give me a middling prospect from someone else's organization, why not take a chance on him? I'm more concerned about clearing the spot outs. Ian Kinsler, gone. I also want to clear out Luis Valbuena. Going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Also not in the Angels 2019 or future plans. He needs to be gone to open up some playing time for somebody else. And Martin Maldonado, I also think you need to sell him. The defense has been down this year, and I hope Lucas doesn't catch me saying that, but he's still upper echelon catcher when it comes to the defensive side of things. And quite frankly, he can get you the value of some better prospect than anyone else on the Angels roster, with the exception of some bullpen pieces. I'm more interested in selling those off moving forward, but with the exception of Cam Bedrosian and Justin Anderson, I think the Angels hold on to him. I think the only arm you think about moving is Blake Parker. I'm not too concerned with the offseason when it comes to the bullpen in terms of the rest of this season, because the bullpen is a major needs a major upheaval from Billy Epler this offseason. That is going to be unavoidable no matter what. The Angels aren't trading for a bullpen piece. Those are the hottest commodity that fetch the biggest return at the trade deadline, so I don't see them making a move for an arm, and quite frankly, I don't see them moving on from anyone besides Blake Parker, given the youth of both Justin Anderson and Cam Bedrosian here. Everybody else, I don't see what their value would be on the open market out of that bullpen. And I know a lot of things came out about the Yankees possibly looking at Tyler Skaggs or Andrew Heaney. That, quite frankly, to me, doesn't make any sense at all for Billy Epler, with the exception of I saw some trade packages that would be built around Miguel Andujar, however you pronounce his name, coming in back, which would fill a hole at third base for the foreseeable future for the Angels. But I'm just not comfortable with giving up Tyler Skaggs or Andrew Heaney, given that they've been relatively healthy. I know Skaggs has had a couple of DL trips. Heaney had that DL trip at the beginning of the season, but they have been the two best pitchers for the Angels this season, and that is inarguable. So I'm a fan of holding on to them. I don't think the Angels make a move. I think Billy Epler wants to see both of those guys through, especially because they have pitched very well this season. Why do I want to move Kinsler, Valbuena, and Maldonado? Well, simply put, like I said, Maldonado, I think, gets you the biggest return, but I'm also fine holding on to him because not many contenders need a catcher, so I don't know what the return would be exactly. The main point is get rid of Ian Kinsler and Luis Valbuena, because what I want to do is call up Taylor Ward, call up Matt Tice, and get more playing time for David Fletcher. You move on from Ian Kinsler. You move on from Luis Valbuena. That opens the spot for David Fletcher to play at second, Taylor Ward to play at third, and Matt Tice to get some more at-bats at first base and DH, switching off with Albert Pujols and Shohei Ohtani the rest of the season. Why? Because I want to see what these guys can do at the big league level. Matt Tice, I've long expected him to be the first baseman in 2019 on opening day of next season. I want to see what he can do in a brief amount of at-bats in the big leagues. Taylor Ward, same thing. Angels converted him to a third baseman. He's changed his swing up a little bit, and he has been mashing at the AAA level this season. I want to see what he can do, because what happens if you call those guys up, right? Taylor Ward, David Fletcher already up, obviously, and Matt Tice, they're already up. Why not just see what they can do and then realize, okay, maybe I don't have to make a move here? Or if they fall completely on their face, then you can go after, you know, that, okay, let's say Taylor Ward doesn't get it done in the majors. Maybe it's not yet time for him to be a major league contributor. You can go after someone on the third base market. Maybe it is Manny Machado if he wants to move to third. Maybe you look back at Mike Moustakas and think about him, bringing him in as well. Same thing with Matt Tice over at first base. Does first base become a need all of a sudden? At catcher, Martin Maldonado, how does he perform the rest of the season? Also, in the starting rotation, I want to call up Griffin Canning and Jose Suarez. I want to see what they can do at a major league level. Yeah, it's soon, especially for Griffin Canning. He was just drafted last season in the second round and didn't pitch at all in 2017. So this is really his first stint in the Angels organization, but he's dazzled at every single level in the minor leagues. Jose Suarez is still very young, but I want to see what the Angels have here moving forward, because it will dictate what they will do this offseason in terms of trades and especially in terms of free agency. In the starting rotation, really outside of Dallas Keuchel and Patrick Corbin, there really isn't those upper echelon type guys. I know I mentioned Tyson Ross there as well in the last episode as a potential target for the Angels. But in terms of setting up for 2019, I need to see what the young guys can do at the big league level. I know you lose a year of club control if you do that, but at the same time, you're trying to win in 2019 and 2020. If you're Billy Epler, you're trying to show Mike Trout that the Angels will be a force to be reckoned with if he remains with the ball club 2019, 2020, and of course after that season when he was set to become a free agent. So I need to see the young guys in the lineup. We need to move out the guys that have been disappointing, like Ian Kinsler and especially Luis Valbuena, to make room for these guys, specifically Taylor Ward, Matt Tice, and more time for David Fletcher. I need to see what these guys can do against Major League pitching, because what if they play well? What if they invigorate the team? Nine games out, still, it's not impossible, highly improbable. No doubt that the Angels make the postseason at this point, but what if those young guys get called up and they produce better than the disappointing seasons for Ian Kinsler and Luis Valbuena? I would say it's more likely than not, quite frankly, and I'll take the bite in the bullet of them losing a year of club control by getting called up now. But I think that's the moves that need to happen. You need to know exactly who you have at the major league level that is ready to go. And I think Taylor Ward, David Fletcher, Matt Tice have all earned the opportunity to get their shot at the major league level to see what they can do. You want to sponsor the show? Know someone that does? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates are always reasonable, of course. Looking at you Orange County and Southern California business owners. Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Coming at you after these messages, the studs and duds of the weekend. All right, everybody, studs and duds of the weekend coming at you.
Studs, studs, and duds from the weekend that was.
Well, I know it was a disappointing weekend for the Angels, right? We lose 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. Tough sled, and the team's only 1 game above .500 going into the weekend. But, hey, there were some studs that I want to point out. Most notably, how about Cole Calhoun? He is seemingly back. He's had a weighted runs created plus since coming off the DL of over 140. Compare that to three when he was before that DL stint. And remember, 100 is league average. Cole Calhoun was at a 3 going in. That is monumentally bad. And now he's at over 140. Even if he regresses back to league average, that is exactly the Cole Calhoun that we need. He picks up 2 home runs on Friday night, albeit in a losing effort. The only runs that the Angels scored. Then hits the go-ahead home run on Saturday. He went 0-for on Sunday against Clayton Kershaw with 3 strikeouts in the ballgame. But that's a little bit to be expected with old Kershaw on the mound. But Cole Calhoun, man, he is back now. The average still sitting at 187, but if we consider where it was before, it's going to be a long road back for him to finish the season with a respectable batting average. Maybe he finishes at 230, 240. It's going to take him hitting pretty much right around 300 the rest of the way in order to do so. But I love the energy. I love the at-bats that Cole Calhoun is starting to put together. And he's starting to hit the ball hard to center and the opposite field, which he hasn't done pretty much the entire season, not until he came back from this recent DL stint. So huge, huge, huge stud of the weekend in Cole Calhoun. Jeffrey Marte provided the only offense on Sunday, the 3-run shot off of Kershaw. Otherwise, the Angels were silenced the rest of the way. Duds of the weekend, man. I feel bad for putting him as a dud of the weekend. And also another stud I want to point out first before I get to the dud, Felix Pena. I know he only goes 4 innings, gives up just 1 earned run, but he's got a 3.42 ERA now as a member of the Angels rotation. Yeah, he's not giving you the length that you'd like, but he was never asked to be a starter until all the injuries racked up in the Angels rotation. I thought Felix Pena has been more than serviceable given the circumstances for the Angels. Duds of the weekend, I want to get back to the guy I was describing, Deck McGuire. I know he's going up against Kershaw, but now with an ERA over 6, it's clear that this dude just can't get it done at the major league level. The rest of the bullpen that day was uninspiring as well, with Taylor Cole and Drake pitching. So these are the times for the Angels pitching staff, unfortunately. Further duds of the weekend, Luis Valbuena goes 0-for for the weekend. I think it was 0-for-5. And additionally, Martin Maldonado had a tough weekend. He was 0-for-7 in the final 2 games of the series. Jose Briseño got the start on Friday night. But Martin Maldonado, that average dipping down to 234, which is right at my limit of what is serviceable. So maybe Martin Maldonado doesn't fetch you as much of a return as I thought. But that's it. That's your studs and duds of the weekend. Coming up, I want to talk about my main man, Joe Adell. Joe Adell, the only Angels prospect in the futures game. But boy, man, hasn't he been something else? His rise above prospect rankings, or like atop the prospect rankings, has been absolutely incredible. He picks up a double and a walk, scores a run in the futures game, a nice opposite field walk there. He is now, he's expected, there's a lot of chatter about Joe Adele being a top 10 prospect in Major League Baseball going into 2019. And I know, I think the estimated time of arrival for him was 2021, the year after that Mike Trout's supposed to become a free agent. But this dude can absolutely fly. Did you see him run on that double? This dude looks like a track star. The speed on that double, I think he was clocked at over 31 miles an hour. And just to compare that to something, Mike Trout routinely is in the 30s or something like that. Joe Adele has been absolutely on fire. Anything above 30 is exceptional. That is elite speed in baseball. And Joe Adele is at over 31 on that double that he hit to the opposite field. He has been sensational. Also, shout out to some former Emeralds, Dylan Cease and Miguel Amaya, playing in that Futures game as well. But Joe Adele, I wanted to mention him. I'm sure Lucas is going to mention him again tomorrow, also when he runs down his seller's plan or whatever for the trade deadline and the rest of this season to get ready for the 2019 offseason. But Joe Adele, I think, not that I wasn't excited for him before, but I think seeing him on a big stage like the Futures game and performing and seeing all the chatter around Major League Baseball and what they think of him, the Angels have something special here. And if he continues this ascension, no doubt in my mind that he can be on the opening day roster starting in right field in 2020. That's a distinct possibility. Joe Adele and Mike Trout playing next to each other in the Halo outfield, and I am just salivating at that opportunity. Well, that's going to do it for tonight. I want to end it on a high note there before Home Run Derby. Who you guys got tonight? I got Javi Baez personally. I think he's had a great season, and it just seems like an event that he's going to dazzle at, right? He's a very, very flashy guy, and I don't mean that in a negative sense at all, but I think he's a guy that performs on the biggest stage. I think Javi Baez takes it. I know there's like Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in the field as well, but I think this is Javi Baez's time. I think it's his time to shine at this Home Run Derby. So we'll see if that happens. Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow. Guys, enjoy the All-Star break. I'm Patrick Zajac. You can find me on Twitter at OtherPatZajac. Most importantly, follow the show at LockedOnAngels. Subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you find podcasts. That's where you can find us. Lucas will be back tomorrow with his plan for the rest of this 2019 season if he were Billy Epler. Until that time, guys, I got to get out of here. Peace.